Hi everybody, Steve Savitsky, and welcome back to Savitsky Talks. And today we have Shira Eisenberg, who is a registered dietitian, a master's in public health, and she's written an article in the Jewish Action, in the fall 2013 Jewish Action, and we call it Get Lunch in the Bag. Shira, how are you?
Hi, I'm good. How are you?
Well, that's great. So I have a copy of your article. I read it, and it's interesting, okay, that you were telling me that the article was not just meant for kids getting ready to go back to school and parents preparing their lunch, but it's for everybody who goes to work and takes their lunch along, and some suggestions as to take some of those meals that perhaps are not as healthy and make them more healthy and nutritional, et cetera, et cetera. So let's hear a little bit about it. You know, what do you think people, you know, everyone wants to have a healthy lunch. Is this, it's just easier to make the other way is just easier to do?
I'm sorry?
Is it just easier to make the other kind of lunch? You just kind of take a bag of this, a bag of that, and just throw it in?
Well, that's definitely part of it. I think also a lot of times people don't want to take the time to make lunch, and they rely on convenience foods, restaurant foods. When I was working in an office, I wasn't near any kind of restaurants at all that were kosher. So sometimes all you have to rely on is like a... If you forgot your lunch or if you just didn't have time in the morning, all you have is a vending machine or a deli down the street. So it can take just as long to pack a healthy lunch as it does to pack an unhealthy lunch. And that was kind of what I was showing that, or trying to show that, that you just need to do a little advanced planning before you start the packing process. And then you will have the healthy items on hand to
right.
pack.
Right. So that's why, I mean, that's what I was getting to. In other words, it's probably pretty easy to do, but there is some planning involved. I mean, you know, you've got to have the items that you need in order to make the lunch, and as opposed to, you know, whatever you find, that's what you do. Also, one other thing, maybe comment on, is that, especially when you talk about kids, I think a lot of times parents, if their kids like something, it's just easier instead of having the hassle of arguing every day. Just, I'll make it again and again and again. As long as I keep eating it, we're all happy.
Yeah, that's definitely, as a parent myself, I definitely see that. Because it's hard. Kids, when they're picky eaters, you sometimes just want them to eat. And, you know, it depends on, you have to kind of choose your battles. But you always want to focus on presenting healthy options. If they're struggling with variety, I would sooner focus on making sure they're getting in healthy foods, even if it's not as much variety. And maybe, you know, in some of the side items, try to mix it up a little. For example, try a new fruit, but give them the same sandwich that they always like, that kind of thing. And then maybe one day add a piece of lettuce to their sandwich and see how they react. And see, just kind of to break them in slowly.
Right, and I know you have, there's a very interesting section in the article itself where you have the before, after, and what a difference. So let's talk about that, because I thought that was, you know, truthfully, the before sounded more or less like what I eat. But
Nobody gave me your menu.
some of them are pretty interesting. So let's take something simple, like, you know, you have, salami with some mayonnaise on bread with a bag of potato chips. So you said, okay, that's what before, and then you gave an after. Do you remember the after you gave, by the way?
I'm pulling up my article now. Sorry.
Okay, well, it was a turkey avocado sandwich on whole wheat with grape tomatoes and a pear. Well,
right.
That sounds pretty good.
Basically, I wanted to stick with the deli kind of theme, but switching for the turkey would be a leaner meat than the salami, lower fat, which is good. You're still going to have the high sodium. That's going to be an issue no matter what if you're using a deli meat. When you have the mayo, if you wanted something creamy, that's why I said go for an avocado, because it has that kind of creaminess that the mayo offers. And people like turkey and avocado together sometimes.
Hmm. So there was a real logic to it. Okay, that sounded good.
Yeah.
And you had a few others that were, here was a delicious lunch. I probably had it a million times. A bagel, pizza, and a chocolate pudding. That sounds, boy, I tell you, that doesn't sound so bad. So what was your recommendation instead of that?
So, I mean, you can definitely look for a healthier bagel pizza option if you didn't want to make one for yourself, for example. I'm pretty happy with the Dr. Prager's bagel pizzas. And actually, I think they're called Yisrael even. And Yashan, believe it or not. But I don't know if they're an OU product, though, so maybe I shouldn't say that.
Is there another Dr. Prager? I think they are. I'm not sure, but okay.
Okay, so then you can take basically a small, they make like mini bagels, a small whole grain bagel, just to kind of keep the portion size down and also introduce some fiber, some more fiber into the meal, because the bagel pizza plain would be on a refined grain bagel, like
and
a
white
bagel.
What's the point of the, you know, the whole wheat? I mean, I know everybody talks about whole wheat. So what's the difference between the whole wheat? I know even you go into, like, the pizza store today, they ask you, do you want a whole wheat or do you want regular? So what's the difference between the two?
So that's a really good question. When you're going with a whole grain, like whole wheat is not the only whole grain. There's lots of different whole grains. It's going to have more fiber. It's basically the grain is less processed. It's more, you're actually getting the whole grain, and the outer part has some of the nutrients that are removed normally when it gets refined into a refined grain, like white flour. So that fiber and the extra nutrients obviously introduce more nutritional value, and the fiber especially is good because it can help you feel more full. So if you're trying to lose weight, it can help fill you up, besides the fact that fiber has also disease-fighting benefits.
Oh, okay, that's great. Now, you had another one which sounded, I mean...
But can I add a caveat to that?
You could do it
when you go to a pizza shop or a bakery and they have, like, a whole wheat bread or whole wheat pizza, you don't always know what you're getting. Sometimes they just add a little bit just to give it that color, but it's not actually 100% whole wheat.
Oh.
So you have to always take that into account. Whole wheat pizza is still not the most nutritious food. Yes, it's probably a better choice than a regular slice, but you can't have a whole pie of whole wheat pizza and expect to be healthy.
No. I get it. Now, here's another one that I thought was interesting, because probably, you know, many people would say, this is pretty good. Egg salad or tuna salad with some pizza chips. That's not bad at all. But you come up with something else.
Okay, so my issue with that is when you're dealing with, like, if it's something you didn't make yourself, if it's this egg salad you picked up at, like, a restaurant or deli counter, they probably used a lot of mayonnaise, and they probably used the regular high-fat one. If you make it at home, it's an excellent choice. If you're making egg salad, try and cut out some of the yolks to kind of cut down on some of that saturated fat, although eggs are not as bad as we once thought they were. They're definitely, the nutritional beliefs about eggs have been changing. They used to be, like, taboo about, in terms of cholesterol. That's kind of a side topic. But the same thing with tuna. Tuna is really healthy for you. But if you add a ton of mayo, it's going to really bring that calorie count up for your lunch. And it'd be good to introduce some vegetables to it, because those are both good proteins, but by itself, I mean, it's not obvious that there's any vegetables just when you say an egg or tuna salad. But if you make it at home, you can throw in some celery or throw in some green onions or some people like potatoes in there, peppers, chopped peppers. And then again, if you can substitute like a whole wheat, whole grain cracker versus the pita chips, I think that they're fried, actually, and that's what makes them crispy. It's why people like them.
Oh, right, they are. Yeah, they are fried.
If you can kind of get rid of that fried angle, you cut down on the fat, too.
I got you. Now, you're a big proponent of salads, obviously. You have a whole section on five different days of five different salads. What's so great about the salads?
So I put that in because I know a lot of women, especially, just like to have salads, and they'll go to, like, the local fast food place, and instead of getting the pizza, they'll get the salad, and it sounds like a much better choice, but if it's a salad that's basically made out of lettuce, and then it has... the sweetened nuts, like those candy nuts everybody loves, and craisins, and high-fat cheese.
It's beginning to sound pretty good. Okay, keep going.
It tastes very good, but then you're not, if there's not any vegetables in there, and if it's mostly high-fat things, then it can actually be a worse choice for you than a slice of pizza. It can be higher in calories, higher in fat, higher in saturated fat than a slice of pizza could be. So that's why the thing is that you, and also, you know, putting in like a heavy dressing and a lot of it also ups that calorie count. So to kind of counterbalance that, and also to save people money, because salads can be a fortune at a kosher restaurant.
Yep, you're right. You're absolutely right. No, they are a fortune,
and,
right.
And some people don't realize how easy it could be to make a very similar salad healthier at home for much less money. So right. I just tried to kind of give some ideas.
Okay, no, that was good.
And people thinking outside the regular, like, lettuce, tomato, cucumber
right.
box.
No, and you had some other... You know, you had some other good ideas, which you had to, you called it the five super fast lunches, which are, you know, easy to make, yet, you know, they were pretty good. I liked one, by the way, whole grain pretzels, single serving of hummus, baby carrots, and grapes. That sounded pretty good to me, and, you know, it sounded like a nice lunch, right?
Yeah, I use that lunch all the time when I'm running late and I have to pack something really quickly for my kids. Those single-serving hummuses are really good. I get them at Costco, like, for really cheap.
Right,
but the
right.
thing is that I find that if you don't use them, you know, rapidly, then they kind of tend to go bad. But the thing that's really important to remember is to try to get your basic components of a balanced lunch. And that's a good example of it, because you got your healthy grain, the whole grain pretzels, you have a healthy lean protein, the hummus, and then you've got a vegetable source and a fruit source, the carrots and the grapes. And you can, you know, substitute any of these items for other things you like, but that kind of gives you the framework of what you want to look for in a lunch.
Right. Then you talk a little bit about the kosher food on the go, and you talk about the thermos. And, you know, having, just have a bag where you can actually keep the food hot?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, or cold.
I think people use
it more to keep things cold.
Uh-huh.
You know, I guess
insulated bags and things like that, right? Yes, right. That was a famous, Mel Brooks line, by the way. You know that?
When I asked
Mel Brooks what was the greatest invention, he said it was a thermos. They asked him why. He said, because it keeps it hot or cold, and how does it know? How does it know which one to do? That was the Mel Brooks line. Anyway, but no, that was really good. And then you had some interesting ideas also, which I thought were really fascinating, which is even some of the mundane things, if you just make them presentation, make them look nice, you're going to find it more appealing. Your kids are going to find it more appealing. Give us some examples of that.
There's actually a really interesting website. I wish I remembered exactly what it was. But this woman took simple lunch items like cheese and lettuce and olives, and every day she'd create something from it. Like she would create like a Mickey Mouse face or a sailboat. I'm just making that up, but it's that kind of thing. You know, she would make some kind of object that was very clear what it was, and her child became excited about it, and all the other kids would be excited, like, to see what's he going to make, what's he going to have for lunch today. And I think that's a great way to get kids to be interested in eating new components, maybe, or components they might not be as likely to try if it was just kind of slapped on there. But if it's cut into a flour, it's so much more fun to eat. So you can use, like, simple things like cookie cutters. I once made for my kid, like, just a regular smiley face, but I put, like, little toothpicks in for keep the olives in for the eyes, and I think maybe I use an apple for the mouth and put it all, the base of a piece of bread. I just kind of want to maybe use a narrow, not super deep container to kind of keep it, like, flat so it doesn't
that's
get
good.
Messed
no,
up.
No, no, it's great.
The child has to be old enough to be able to take the toothpicks out and not hurt themselves with them, so.
Right. So, I mean, I think you've given some really good practical suggestions to people. And because, look, many people, like you said, don't always have access to go to someplace, don't always have the time to go someplace. So if you could prepare a little bit, and you're doing okay. And I think the most important thing is to make sure it's a varied diet. It's a lot. You have protein, you have your fruits, you have your vegetables, and Now, I didn't see one word in here about, I'm trying to find if there was one word at all about something that I like a lot, which is called cake. I didn't see that at all. So you don't have any, there's no way that happens or what?
So cookies, I believe my philosophy really is everything in moderation.
Okay.
So cake, cookies, treats like that, they're okay once in a while. If someone's trying to lose weight, then they know they have to be much more careful about their calorie intake, and maybe their once in a while would be less often than someone who is at a healthy weight and is just trying to maintain their weight.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
for something like your kids, I would definitely say try to, it's try to stick to healthier type of sweets, like a granola bar, for example.
Yeah,
like
right.
It can be sometimes just be as happy with a granola bar as with a cupcake, because it's sweet and crunchy, and they don't realize that it's got fiber from the granola part of it. So it's better to opt for those kind of things on a more regular basis, and then keep things like cake to, it can be a small piece at Chavez, and then try not to bring it for lunch every day.
Mm-hmm. I see. And you also talked, by the way, about some drinks, and I guess that's another area where people don't think about too much, about some of the juices that have a lot of calories, and some milk, chocolate milk, and things like that. So, you were saying water is the best thing that you could really utilize, right?
Well, it's going to hydrate you the best. Also, the thing with kids is if they're going to drink their juice box or their milk first, they might be too full to eat their food. So it might not even be just about calories or sugar, but more about wanting them to eat, the other mm-hmm. nutrients that are in the food. So I'm not so against chocolate milk per se, if that's the only way like kids will drink milk,
mm-hmm.
but it's the same kind of thing as a treat. You want to keep it as an occasional thing. The same thing with juice. Even 100% juice, it's really better for them to have an orange than the 100% orange juice, because
right.
the orange has fiber. The orange actually only, a regular orange has about 50 or 60 calories. A cup of juice, off the top of my head, I want to say it's closer to 100. I don't remember offhand.
Yeah, I know it's definitely more. There's no question about it. What about one final question? I know that schools have tried and they're looking into this now. Do you find that the schools are doing a better job in giving healthier choices to the kids, or do you think we're kind of back to where we were, or we haven't changed?
No, as a community, I really think we've made strides when it comes to mm-hmm. Feeding our kids healthier foods. I definitely know of several schools that I'm thinking of right now that have healthy snack programs where they would get the kids to only bring healthy snacks like certain times of the day. You know, it's harder for them to implement it, like, let's say for the whole day, like never bring a bag of what are they called, Gushers or Fruit Roll-Ups or whatever. But it's something they can kind of, if they restrict it, like, hey, morning recess is going to be only healthy snacks, only fruits and vegetables, only whole grain pretzels, only that kind of thing. But in terms of school lunch, is that what you're referring to? They offer
exactly
at lunch?
Yeah, exactly right. The school lunch that they have, right?
So, honestly, I'm not that familiar with what schools are serving nowadays. If they're part of the school lunch program, the National School Lunch Program, which I know, like a lot of from schools in the New York, New Jersey metro areas are, then they're required to serve a serving of vegetables and a serving of fruit.
Mm-hmm.
And servings, they have to fit the national guidelines.
It's
and,
like a curriculum.
Right, because they're getting funding for it. So there's certain, regulations they have to satisfy. And obviously those regulations also have their issues. The government is working on trying to make things healthier overall for all the kids. So,
great. Okay, great.
So
well,
I think
wonderful.
That there's... Yeah, I think there's a push in that direction. I think that we all have more work to do. I think parents, it's great for them to get involved and talk, if schools have meetings where they're open to hearing feedback, tell them what you want to be seeing on the kids' menus. I think a lot of times schools will come back with, hey, you know, we'll put that on there, but the kids aren't going to eat it. And in a way, they do have a valid point. Like, they don't want to serve, you know, peas.
Right. You don't want
if no one's
going to
eat it, it's a waste of money all around.
Absolutely.
So it's got to come from the parents then, too, in that if you introduce your kids to healthy foods, then that's what they'll be looking for.
Terrific.
When they're
Listen, it's a great article. I think people are really going to enjoy it. And thank you for coming on the program and really giving us a little bit more information about it. And I know that people are going to find it very fascinating. So thank you so much, Shira Eisenberg, for being on the program. Have a wonderful, wonderful day.
Thanks. You too.
Okay, bye-bye.